Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
I still don't believe they're making it. Remember, too, not just the Mets who had a comeback win last night. The Diamondbacks had a tremendous comeback win. They were down 4-0 late in that game against the Dodgers. Ohtani was shutting them down early. They came back and won. So now, as it stands, the Mets have a one-game lead over two teams that both own the tiebreaker over the Mets with five to play. And in that game that everybody's so excited about last night. Now, what I will say is kudos to Francisco Alvarez, who learned from his mistakes, BT. This time he actually hit it over the fence. That's what you're supposed to do. Not to where the guy could go catch it. You actually hit it over the fence. So good for Alvarez learning from his mistakes. Hit it over the fence and you'll get robbed by, you know, a measly catch in center field. That's number one. But really, like, they should have been down 6-1 to begin with. David Peterson can't get anybody out. So I'm supposed to be excited and believe in this team that continues to have major issues. How many times they got to blow a lead or get behind early? Yeah, they showed some fight. I'm still not believing that the Mets are going to be a playoff team.
Yes. I said, all right, Sal, what happens if the Mets come out here and they come and they went 8-2 and Soto hits a 3-run bomb and said it was Nimmo with a 3-run bomb?
Yeah,
but you get the point. I said, how would you feel today? And what you just described to everybody is what you said yesterday. So there's consistency there. I get it, because one win doesn't take away for the inconsistencies, which have been alarmingly bad for most of this season. But I'll tell you what I thought watching that game. When last year, when Pete dropped the pop-up in Milwaukee, we all thought, that's the end of Pete, that's the end of the Mets. And last night, when McNeil, on the second error, on the diving play to his left, that I thought, by the way, Pete should have made the play on a first base, whatever, he missed it by a couple of inches, it goes into the dugout. I had the same feeling that the Mets season was over. And just like in Milwaukee, they somehow regenerated a year ago. Pete with the big oppo bomb off Devin Williams last night. A lot of people playing hero, Lindor, and obviously Alvarez, Nimmo as well. I feel like last night, now I don't know if it propels them back to the NLCS, but now I have no doubt the Mets are going to be a playoff team.
Yes,
they're going to get in.
Even watching the game, like from the get-go, it's not just Peterson that was bad. How about the defense? You mentioned a little bit of there. How about Soto? Butchering the ball in right field. And now, I'm not going to get on Soto, like that's par for the course, but it just shows you that they're not, they have played an awful brand of baseball. And I am not going to get fooled. You want to be fooled? Mets fans want to be fooled by this? So be it. They won a game last Sunday on a walk-off, and everybody was fooled by that. Not me. They won a series against the Padres. Everybody started to get fooled by that. Not me. I'm not getting fooled by one measly win against the Cubs, which, by the way, took an incredible comeback, which I don't believe that they have in them anymore. I mean, you hope that that's the case. They just haven't done it at all this year. But they get down again 6-1. They're losing the game. Took an incredible comeback and an incredible, unlikely effort from the bullpen. Brazoban, Stanek, two innings from Diaz, like, it took a lot for the Mets to be able to overcome that performance last night and win a singular game. They've got five more to go, and they're going to have to win. You'd say, well, how many of those five games do you think they're going to have to win?
I think they're going to have to win. I would say four.
Okay.
It's a lock. Three. Right. I still think they're in decent shape.
Okay, now remember, if they don't have the tiebreaker.
I know.
So if they go 3-2 and the other teams go 4-1,
I get it.
They're in trouble. Now, I don't even know if they're going to get three wins, but at least you'd feel, okay, well, if they go 3-2, it would take a 4-2 from either the Reds or Diamondbacks to beat you.
Correct.
Which is not, or, excuse me, a 4-1.
Four and one
from either of those teams to beat you, which would be tough to ask. I think one of those teams could go 4-1. I'm not even sure the Mets could go 3-2.
Okay, so you say you're not about to be fooled. I got you. To me, I don't think it's about being fooled. I think it's about reacting to everything.
Right.
And part of it has been like the Mets' talent, which, again, I think it's a little bit overstated. We've had that debate, whatever, but they clearly have some top-level talent in a lot of spots. Back into the bullpen, cut first couple of hitters. We know who they are, right? So to me, it's also about the Reds, who lost to the Pirates and are facing Skeens today. Now, I know the Diamondbacks are still there as well. I'm happy. Just a couple things from the game real fast that I circled. So you could talk about the big home runs, Nimmo, Alvarez, Lindor as well, big clutch, all the things that happened. To me, Brazoban is the hero of the game.
Right.
Because I know he gave up the one run, but it's 5-1, then he gives up the little cheapie, make it 6-1. If he doesn't get, I think he got 8 outs, 9 outs. It was 8 outs, right? Yeah, he went 2 2/3. So to me, if he doesn't deliver those 8 outs, the Mets probably wind up losing 11-3 because they're in the wrong part of their bullpen. They're lesser, lower leverage arms. And then the season very well might be over. That's number one. So props to him. That may have resuscitated the Mets season. The play with Soto. Now, I am never, never reluctant to hit a player for a sloppy play. And that looked sloppy. It was.
The wind.
I know you don't want to hear it.
It's a fly ball to right field,
dude. I get it. I just hear me out. And I don't think Soto, you know, he had one go under his glove the other day. I don't think he's a good outfielder. You know that, okay? But Soto, I remember seeing the flags when they panned back, coming back from SNY. And they were fairly benign. They were not whipping at all. And then when they went to break, and Gary Cohn's not one to make excuses, they panned again to the flags, and they were whipping up, and they were whipping out deep to right field. Now, you factor in there's no cushion with the ivory. Mm-hmm. The wind suddenly picked up. I'm not saying that it's you got to make the play. But if he does, and there was an 18% hit probability, which means there's basically 80% chance that you should catch the ball. I'm not saying it was an easy play. You probably got to make the play. But if he does make the play, then Peterson probably has a better outing because then he's not out of the game. Then he's 2 innings in the books and he's got no runs given up.
Yeah, what happened in the next inning?
Well, I understand that, but it didn't help with what Soto did.
The Mets used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Six guys, right?
Six guys out of the bullpen, one of which Diaz for 2 innings.
Yeah, like, who's probably shot for tonight now, unfortunately.
Okay, so then I ask you this. Like, it's great that they won last night. What a great comeback. Okay, season saved. Well, who's pitching tonight? What, is Jonathan going to go 7, 8 innings? Like, he can't.
He did the last time out. Why not?
Okay, well, let's see.
He's going to have to, pretty much. And that's the point.
Even if he does, yeah, well, he's going to have to. So now you're relying on a rookie who's been inconsistent. One day he can't get out of the first inning. The next day he's spinning a gem for the most part. Okay, well, which one are we going to get? And I would lean toward, let's say, somewhere in between. And that's going to go to the bullpen. Is their offense going to hit enough tonight? I mean, I just don't trust them. They still have work to do. Having a one-game lead with 5 games to go is not good enough. And maybe the bigger point is they've already upset me for the year. Like, I've held out, and I think I've been as fair as anybody and real as anybody. Like, this is not some positive BS. I'm being real here with what I believe in this team. And I believe that they were going to make the playoffs a lot longer than most people. And it got to a point where I couldn't believe it anymore. And they and their play has made me mad to a point where I'm out on them. I'm out. Like, I didn't want to hear it. Get to the postseason bare minimum. And then I wouldn't be taking bows. They can celebrate. I'd still be saying, good, yeah, good. You aggravated everybody in the process. You barely made it. With your highest payroll, you barely made the playoffs. And now you got to go play a tough series on the road. Like, that's good? No matter what happens the rest of the way, it is a failure of epic proportions of the regular season. Now, it better end in the postseason, meaning with them in the postseason, then that's going to be a whole nother evaluation. But they've already ruined any good feel about a regular season as far as I'm concerned.
I'm just reacting to last night. You know what I mean? Like, last night's out, I really couldn't believe what I was watching. When they fall behind 6-1, I said, my God, it's over.
Think about that.
It's over. McNeil, I don't know what happened when he was trying to turn. I guess it slipped out of his hand. The first error when he threw it into the dugout. Then the other one where he made a nice dive and stopped, and he threw it past Pete. I do think Pete's got to make that play because I think his foot was in the middle of the bag rather than the corner of the bag. That's a little subtlety. Hernandez makes that play. Mm-hmm. Good fielding for Rico Bronya makes that play. He was just choppy and heavy-footed, sloppy play, so I'm going to put that on Pete myself. The Soto miscue in right field. Okay, but at least and I'm not trying to convince you, I know where you stand, and this is not some sort of, you know, trying to, you know, recalibrate the thoughts of the Met fans that have been disgusted by this season. It has been an unmitigated disaster for 4 months. I acknowledge that. I got that. And when they get to the playoffs, I don't think they're going far. But the Reds are going to face Skeens today. Mm-hmm. The Cubs just lost 4 at home. I believe it was in Chicago. I know they lost 4 to the Reds. So the team the Mets are playing right now, they're not even playing well. The Mets had an epic comeback last night, something they haven't done much this year at all. I'm just saying, I do think they get to the playoffs.
Maybe.
That's all I'm saying.
And I'm just saying.
That was a character win, man. They could have lost 11-2.
Again, the result was great that they won. If you actually watched the game, and I know you did, I'm just saying, like, if you pay attention to that, it was awful. The starting pitching was awful. There's no way I would rely on the bullpen to do that again. The defense, awful. Look at that outfield.
Yeah. I mean, Nimmo played center for the first time all year.
They got Brandon Nimmo in center.
But you got Taylor coming back today. He's healthy. So you got your defensive center fielder back.
Yeah, okay, and then that's going to take away from the offense.
I know. Listen, I think, and we'll get to these calls.
Marte in left. With Nimmo in center, Marte in left, and Soto in right. That has to be the worst defensive.
I don't like it. I don't like that outfield at all. No, that's not that. You're not going anywhere with that. You're not going to see that again the rest of the year. Playoffs or the last five. Here's the complicated, and this is more of a downstream thing because you got to win tonight. You got to win. But Peterson is scheduled to start Sunday.
So he can't start anymore. We should have started last night.
I know, but so I am trying to look at this in multi-layers. The context of the overall Mets season, which has been an overriding failure, as we all know. Last night, which was amazing. The opportunity still in front of them, but also the impediment still in front of them.
Yeah, right.
Because I do think Tom will give them a chance to win the game tonight, like I thought he would give them last time out, and he did. Now, Peterson's scheduled for Sunday. Thursday's McLean, who's a horse I love. We all love him. Friday's TBD, and right now it is Saturday, Manaea, at least loosely. They haven't committed to this, but loosely, just pushing this forward. Manaea Saturday, Peterson Sunday. That's what should worry you.
Yeah, well, that does worry me. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was one game. Great win. Great win. Needed it. If they didn't have that, it would be over. Great win. There's still a lot. Still got five games to go. They're patching it together. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King now, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Back to the Yankee calls. Neil is in the Bronx. What's up, Neil?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Hey. Our boys are back in town. Hey, as far as the Yankees are concerned, they led the majors with the most home runs. And the lineup is deep enough to go deep into the playoffs and even probably win the World Series. But we need Aaron Judge to be Aaron Judge. We need him to have a clutch postseason because that's one thing that's missing in his resume. If he can do that, if he can give us the real Aaron Judge, this lineup is good enough to put up monstrous numbers to just blow out these teams.
Well, I listen, Aaron Judge is a story that is going to be discussed every day. Every at bat, if he gets off to a, you know, 1-for-9 start in the, whether it's the wild card, whatever it might be, he's going to hear some boos. I mean, whether it's right or wrong, it is what it is. But the difference, and I don't disagree with your main part, Judge has to join the party and be Judge at some point for a few games this October. But I do think we would probably all agree that they're better equipped to navigate an 0-for-4 from Judge than they have been in years past.
I still think they're going to need him, though, to win a World Series. Like, even if it's for just carrying a series, and obviously we don't even know. Like, we were assuming it was going to be wild card series for a while. If they win the division, it changes everything.
It does.
Let the other teams go beat themselves up. You take a deep breath. You reset.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who the opponent's going to be, obviously, in that first round. But, man, that changes everything from a Yankees perspective. Either way, Judge, to me, is going to have to do, at some point, you know, it's been since 2017, and I felt, after watching the 2017 Yankees coming out of nowhere, baby bombers, Judge going nuts, I have legitimately felt, more often than not, until the last couple years, that every year since 2017, they were going to win the World Series. 2018, I thought it. 2019, I thought it. 2020, I thought it. 2021 was maybe the first year I was like, not so sure. And it was mainly because of Aaron Judge and his presence and his dominance. And we just have not seen that in the postseason, period. He talked about it last night, saying that he lost a lot of sleep with the performance last year. It's got to be different, BT. At some point, it's got to be different for Judge in the postseason. And while they may be deeper and better suited to handle his struggles in the playoffs, I still think ultimately to win the World Series, they're going to need him to get close to what he's done in the regular season.
Listen, Sal, I'm just a staunch believer, and if you are great, okay, even if it's intermittent greatness, and baseball is certainly an intermittent kind of sport where you're up and down and all over the map, the more chances you get to prove the greatness, if you truly are great, you're going to eventually pop through.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean, listen, Aaron Judge, Yankees could get back to the World Series. Judge could hit 417 with five home runs and 11 RBIs, and the Yankees are losing seven. Like, there's no guarantee that they would win the World Series, but I've always believed, as much as I was all over him a year ago, dropping the ball, not hitting, he was horrendous last October, there's just I just can't accept until I have to, if he retires and he just doesn't do it, that he doesn't step up in October as a Yankee. He has to, and he's going to.
Yeah, you have to feel at some point it's going to happen. Jim is calling from Johnson City. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
In Tennessee.
Hey, fellas. Love the show, man.
Thanks, you. Jim.
Yeah, just you guys get me through the day every day.
Appreciate it.
Just wanted to touch on something for you, and maybe you can do a little more research than I have opportunity to, but maybe we finally figured out what Volpe is. Now, man, this season obviously frustrated the snot out of me, you know, just trying to deal with his ups and his downs and the gully that he got into. And, you know, but every time he has some time off, whether it's, look back in his 3-year career.
Yeah.
Starts the season, he's hot as all get out.
That's true.
You know, after the All-Star break, yeah. He goes to that 2-3 week spun where he's just, you know, hitting everything.
Yeah.
Base hits, right field,
couple
all
of home
that.
Runs.
So maybe he's not 155, 160 game player. Maybe he's only 135, 140. You know, maybe that's where we need to go with him.
Well, now they could with Caballero here. The problem is that, yeah, they never had a backup.
Yeah, but you got to, you know, you play him for 2 weeks, you get a day off, give him the day before or the day after.
Yeah,
he
well, that's
a break.
Yeah, but that's but that doesn't change the postseason usage. And Jim, thanks for the call. Appreciate you reaching out in Tennessee. If that's not a Tennessee expression, annoyed the snot out of me. I don't know what is. Thank you, Jim. Like, let me ask you this, Sal. I want you to answer this because Volpe, since the cortisone shot, has played better. He's hit better. He's played better. He's looked better. Let's say he does, not amazingly, but he does well the rest of the way. And when Caballero, final five games, and when Caballero plays, he plays well in addition. Who starts game one?
Yeah, it's a tough question. I would, and I know this is going to sound crazy coming from me, but under the assumption that Volpe looks the way that he's looked here since he had that shot,
yeah.
I'm playing Volpe because I think his high end, like, I would not have built the team this way. I would have sent him down to the minors, but here we are. And the way that their team is built, I would roll with the guy who I believe has the better upside and at least showed that it's not falling off the rails the way that it did. Now, you run the risk of he's going to throw one in the dirt, he's going to struggle and look like his old self, and then you have a quick hook, maybe, and you go to Caballero. Caballero, to me, is an exciting bench player and a weapon off the bench.
Yeah, well, that's why I agree, but I was going to fixate and focus on the last part there. To me, if you have Volpe starting, and I believe that that's what they'll do, and I believe that's what they should do at this point because he's showing some signs of waking up, as we said, but you're going to be able to deploy Caballero many different ways that can impact the game. Whether it's, you know, pinch hitting, I would feel a lot better pinch hitting Caballero than I would Volpe in the right spot. Getting down a bunt, stealing a bag, obviously going out to play the outfield, going out to play short, whatever it might be. So I just think that the diversity in Caballero game is more of a weapon in the late innings than Volpe. And because Volpe's playing better, I think that they will start him, and I think that they should.
Yeah, plus the success he had in the postseason last year. Like, there's a lot of reasons for it. You run the risk of having it, you know, having it fall apart, but I think that Volpe starting it short, which is shocking saying that, especially coming from me who wanted him down in the minor leagues. I think they would probably be better off having him starting game one. All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all, Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
You know, we talk about it as far as the Yankees winning the division, the possible matchup, and you mentioned it before, the MVP thing. Think about this. The Mariners, and we talked about the fan base. Which fan base would you rather be? Obviously, from a Yankee fan perspective, very few, if any, would you rather be a different fan base. The Seattle Mariners have had a tremendous season. That's one fan base that you could appreciate, at least. You wouldn't want to be them because they missed the postseason forever. But finally clinching a postseason spot, going to win that division in the AL. Did they actually clinch the division or just a play? No, they clinch a postseason spot. They have a four-game lead over the Astros. Cal Raleigh having an MVP-type year. Been a great season for them, and I do think they could be dangerous with their pitching. But do you think that Raleigh deserves the MVP over Aaron Judge based on the fact that he took a team, led a team to the postseason for the first time in how many years, 25 years, whatever it is, that the Mariners finally got over the hump?
I don't. So I don't really lean into that, and I also don't lean into the fact that, now, he's had an amazing season. I'm not trying to downplay it at all, but the one thing you hear is, you know, one thing that you do hear is he's had the, you know, an all-time season for a catcher, which is undeniable. But I don't really look at it that way. I look at it just what you did as a player. Now, I understand why people say that. I mean, the rigors of catching, obviously you got a squad that you take away from your offense because your legs are tired, you're getting nicked up with foul balls, blah, blah, blah. I understand why people say that, but I don't give more points because you played a more difficult position. So outside of the home runs, Judge has them across the board, the OPS, the on base, which is ridiculous, and the batting average clearly. So I think it's Judge. I think the Judge should win it fairly going away. I don't know if he will, but to me, it's Judge.
Wow. Yeah, I would go Cal Raleigh. And by the way, they did make the postseason a couple years ago. I meant division, where they haven't won the division in, you know, whatever it's 20 since 2001. Dude, you have a catcher that performs like that? Like, I go by the most valuable player. The best player is Aaron Judge. The most valuable, like, if you took Aaron Judge off of the Yankees, I still believe they would be a playoff team. We talk about World Series winning team. Yeah. Look at the team. They're loaded. I mean, Aaron Judge has been great, but the Yankees, this is not to me the way that Judge and Soto carried them a year ago. This is different. Judge has had a monster year, but even when they were having success, when he came back from the injury, he still wasn't doing well.
And yeah, they're still quiet.
Yeah, so it's not knocking Judge, not minimizing what he's doing or his importance. I just think if you take Cal Raleigh off the Mariners, they're a dead team walking. So by that definition, for a team that hasn't won their division since 2001, he's hitting, what is he at now, 56 home runs, 57?
58.
58 home runs. I mean, for a catcher to hit 58 home runs and take a team to win their division for the first time in 25 years or 24 seasons, that to me is worthy of a most valuable player, even if you're not as good a player as Aaron Judge.
Well, I boil it down to this, and it's a very simple math equation. Now, we could disagree on the end result here, even though it's hard to disagree with math, but it's not really math. It's baseball math. So if you take player X off team Y, what's the more, or what has the more adverse impact here? And that's something that, in this case, could support you.
Right.
Because if you take Cal Raleigh off Seattle,
they're done, yeah.
They're
it's the
done.
Only thing that I would argue.
Yeah. Like, and that's really, if you think about it, if you boil it down, I like to use that equation because that generally does boil it down to the truest form of the value.
Correct.
Not outstanding, right. You know, not best here.
Best season, no.
Yeah, but I also have to remain true, which I'm going to. The numbers that I've always valued here, you know, I've always leaned on OPS, and it's not even close. I mean, listen, Cal Raleigh's OPS is very good. Now, is Cal Raleigh a really good defensive catcher, or is he a guy who plays catcher and has a ton of home runs? So the other things, I don't get wrapped up in, like, again, the style points, or not even style points, but additional bonus points for, because you play a more taxing defensive position, or because the team hasn't been good in 25. Like, it's not Judge's fault that Seattle hasn't gotten their act together more than the Yankees have. And I do
think it just makes him, it makes Cal Raleigh more valuable.
I understand that to an extent. I'm granting you that to an extent. I really do. I think it's close. Like, I don't think that Judge should win this in an absolute landslide, and I don't think that he will. I do think that he'll win it. I do think he'll win it a little more comfortably than some. But Cal Raleigh's had an all-time year. I'm not trying to take it away from him.
I think Judge, phenomenal. I think Judge has had a tremendous season. Obviously, you can mention, look at the numbers. Hey, whoever I would vote for, usually they go the other way anyway. Like, to me, Ohtani cannot be the most valuable player last year. He didn't even play the field at all. Meanwhile, if you take Francisco Lindor off the Mets, they're not a playoff team. So by definition of most valuable, to me, it was clearly Francisco Lindor, but Ohtani won it. So, I mean, you could take Judge off the Yankees, and maybe the Yankees wouldn't be in the same spot without Judge. I still think they'd be a playoff team. I know if you took Cal, like, look at what the Mariners have done historically without a season like this from one of their players. That's why I would go most valuable. Adam is in South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
What's up, dudes? Good to talk to you as always. Nice. Hope you guys are well.
Yeah. What's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, first, man, as far as the Yankees, I want to give this from a similar perspective BT has. I'm a Jet fan, you know, and I'm 56 years old, and my whole life, there's only one thing I can rely on, and that's that the Yankees are going to make it competitive, and they're going to get in the playoffs, and that they're going to give me some smiles along the way, even if they don't accomplish the mission. So, Yankee fans, don't be greedy and silly. Enjoy this. They're in the playoffs. They might win the division, and I agree with you, BT. It's just a matter of time before Judge goes nuts in the postseason. And this could be the year. You know, every year could be the year. This could be the year, and I'm excited to watch the playoffs. As far as the deficiencies, every team in baseball has deficiencies. I think these series now benefit the Yankees because a couple of their starters become relievers. Something that's been a big problem for them, which is, you know, until they bridge it to the 8th, 9th, mm-hmm. is going to disappear because you're going to have reliable guys that can come in for an inning or two in those situations and slow it down.
Yeah.
And I got one more thing for Sal. Sal, if the Mets don't do this, you know what the postseason is going to be like? No Soto.
Yeah, you're right. And thank you for the call, Adam. Yeah, you're right. Just like the All-Star game. But the difference is I could not watch the All-Star game. No Soto, no Sal. No Soto in the postseason, Sal's showing up. Sal. Might show up at Yankee Stadium, as a matter of fact.
Didn't you go last year to a game?
I did. I don't know if I want to go back this year.
Why?
Man, it's a lot to get there, the hassle.
Mitch was texting me yesterday, by the way.
About what, the Yankees?
About going to a Yankee playoff game with him.
He was all bothered because it's being played on Yom Kippur. So that's what he called the other day.
He said he wanted to go to a game, so he's already kicking the tires on that.
Are you going to go?
I always go. I just don't know if I'm going to go with Mitch. No, I don't mean it like that. That's not how I mean it to
now,
go.
You didn't go last year, did you?
I went to Volpe at the Grand Slam. I went to the World Series. I took my son.
Oh, okay. I went
absolutely.
To the because I was like, I went to plenty of games. I don't remember you being there.
Oh yeah, I went to the World Series the year in 2022. I went to the Astros game, the ALCS. I always go to at least one.
No, I'm saying last year. Last year I went to one. In each of the first two rounds.
I didn't.
But I didn't go to the World Series.
I just went to the World Series. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, just bigger picture for a sec with the Yankees here. Of course, we all expect Judge eventually to crack through because greatness usually does, especially if you are, you know, authentic in your approach and you're not taking shortcuts. Like, he's a worker. He's a grinder. He's incredibly talented. That's going to have to play itself on the big stage at some point. But I would think that everybody would feel pretty good about this. Not that it guarantees anything, but the Yankees are as less, if that even makes sense, like from a syntax, less reliant on the home run this year than they've been since, I don't know, pick a time.
Or just that they could beat you different ways.
Well, it's the same thing.
They're still relying on home runs. They hit a bunch of home runs. That's their greatest strength. So I wouldn't say that they're not relying on home runs. I just feel like maybe now they're a little bit better suited to beat you in different ways, whether it's speed, whether it's just top-end starting pitching.
Even defense, which doesn't seem logical because they were booting the ball around a lot this year at one point here. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to be interesting to see what starter doesn't start. I mean, you'd have to think, well, it's going to be Fried. It's going to be Rodon 1-2. I would think it's going to be Schlittler 3. You know, you have Heald or Warren coming out of the pen. I mean, they got some options.
Sean calling from Yonkers. What's up, Sean?
Hello, Sean.
Hey, what's up, boys? How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
All right, so I think last night was like game 161 last year for the Mets. I think we're going to make it. I do. I think it's a shot in the arm. I think it's a boost. I know it seems crazy. I'm a Mets fan. Look, we have a history of just, you know, completely booting it around and showing, you know, a deficiency everywhere, basically defensively. But look, we have a great offense. Despite the pitching, we have to overcome that, you know, and last night, I think we did. We showed that. We showed fight. We do have an easier schedule. The Reds still have to go through the Pirates. They lost last night. The Diamondbacks still have to go through the Dodgers. Look, I'm just trying to be positive. Sal, please get on the same page with me here, man. You were doing this a week and a half ago. You were the same thing as me, saying, oh, yeah, we're going to be in, you know, if the season were to end, we're in.
All right,
we only have five games. Come on, Sal. We got this.
I was begging you, Sal.
Let's just talk this out, Sean, because I'm going to be real with you.
I'm begging everybody as a Mets fan.
Do you really, forget your hope and what you want to happen, do you really deep down believe that this team that we've watched play this brand of baseball for this long, do you really believe that they're going to finish strong here these final five games?
I do in my heart of hearts because I think these three kids are very good, especially McLean and Spro. And Tong only had one bad outing. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that we're going to make it in.
Okay, good.
I think, look, I know it's five games left, but if we get hot at the right time, We can make a run. Why not? Well, Last year, we didn't even have Soto when we made a run.
That's a different story, Sean. I'll meet you in the middle, and thank you for the call, and good luck to your Mets. I will reserve judgment on whether the Mets can go on a run or not in the postseason when, in fact, they get there. My belief has been that they have the proper pieces in place to go on a postseason run if they get there. My belief on them getting there has changed. It started with that Saturday night loss. McClain is on the mound. Soto hits his 40th home run. 2-0 lead late in that game, and they blow that game. Like, that to me is just, I just didn't believe. I'm not faking it. I'm not faking positivity. I could come on and say, yeah, I think they're going to make it. Or I could have stayed through and stuck with what I was saying if I truly believed it. I could have went against even my beliefs and just said, yeah, I think they're going to make it. I'm just being honest with how I feel. I do not trust this team. I don't believe they're going to make it. It seemed easy Sunday when Alonso had the walk-off. Seemed easy when they beat the Padres 2 out of 3. Mm. And it seems easy now.
Yep.
But how about against the Nationals? I'm not forgetting that. How about the 5 games remaining? We could have more of what we saw against the Nationals. That's what I really believe is going to happen. Unfortunately, BT, I want them to get there more than anybody. I just don't believe it's going to happen.
Listen, here's the bottom line. The evidence has been more overwhelming on the negative side for the Mets this year than on the positive side here. So I've always said I get that because I'm really not that – I'm not – I'm aligned with you in terms of how we view this team.
And it's not a history woe is Mets.
No, thing. I know it's not. Yeah. I get that. I understand that. Here's the one thing why last night felt a little different to me, and we'll see what it means moving forward here. The thing, and you all know the stat, I think it's 0-67 now, right? Yeah, the Mets with no comeback wins
after the eighth
or going into the ninth, 0-67. One of the things, and I took a lot of heat for this, Mets fans didn't like it, but I stood by it and because I saw it and I felt it. I didn't think the Mets showed a lot of character this year. They didn't seem very connected, all right? They just seemed like they were kind of drifting in a lot of different directions, and I didn't see the energy and the camaraderie and the connectivity that I think was very emblematic of was really their DNA last year. Last night, to me, is a character win, almost to the point where I think I feel better about last night than if they would have come out and just won 11-0 and there would have been no, like, nothing in their path that they would have had to overcome. The way the season's gone, they threw 2 balls in the dugout. I mean, Soto was on skates in right field. Your starting pitcher got 4 outs. The Mets had every reason to feed into the negative noise, which they've earned, and the energy this year and say, you know what, it's just ain't our year, man. We don't have it. Everybody's hurt. We're not good enough. Instead, they gave you the best win of the season. That's a ray of hope.
Hoff, have you changed your mind on this? You've been negative for a while with this team, not thinking they're going to make the postseason. Where are you at after that?
Yeah, they haven't proved anything yet.
Mm.
Good for them for winning a game.
You know, maybe the better question is, what would it take? I mean, there's 5 games left, so even if they won tonight, like, okay, you could start doing the math. I need to see more. I don't even get to the postseason. There's nothing's going to change my mind unless they actually do it right now.
No, so but hold on now. We talk about, okay, so then that's when you celebrate. Because we talk about the checkpoints with the Yankees.
Yeah, well, if they get there, it's different.
If they get there, and
they've made it so bad that I can't even enjoy it if they do. Like, that's what I'm mad at. They've ruined any enjoyment. It shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be coming down to the final days again, barely hanging on. Now, if they do get in, I do think they should celebrate, and I think fans should celebrate. I don't know where emotionally I'm going to be at because I'm still aggravated with this team. But yes, that's a huge checkpoint. All right, at least they did it. They didn't fold up. They check the box, get into the postseason, then reassess.
Got the young kid going tonight. You got Skeens going against the Reds. I'm telling you, they're going.
The Diamondbacks are the team that I'd be watching out for.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the Fan.
All right, three random questions sponsored by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Injured? Visit injurylawyer.com. Number one, if you were Devontae Smith, how would you handle the security guard checking out your girl?
I'd say it's a compliment. Nah, he was maybe a little bit too locked in. I mean, you know, you can kind of pretend you're looking somewhere else and catch that quick raise. We all know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I went right to her Instagram page myself, the Maya Danielle. If you're not familiar with this story, there was a very attractive woman walking the sidelines of the Eagles game. The security guard walked past, turned around very quickly to see what had just passed him by.
Yep.
Turns out it was Devontae Smith's fiance or whatever, wife, I don't even know.
I think it's girlfriend. And he locked in pretty good. Now, it's a still shot. Now, was it a, I'm kind of having fun, like, was it a quick glance or was he really just
he did a full turn.
He did do the full turn.
But that's like an aggressive, you got to be aware that there could be cameras on. Also, that's true. It's probably somebody's girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like a full turn, even if the security guard is single in this particular spot, I don't know if the full turn check it out is like acceptable.
Well, you got to at least pretend you're looking at something else. Like you look at your watch for a second. You got to throw some sort of distraction. It's got to be a little diversion there. Like, you know, you're looking up at the top of the sky.
I forgot something back there. Turn around.
You scratch your head. Like there's ways to do it. That security guard either has no game or he just has no shame. One of the two, man.
Now, I'm trying to think if I were in his spot. Forget about Devontae Smith. And I think Smith handled it well. He went to Instagram and joked around. The guy better. Well, yeah, come on, dude. You should take it as a compliment.
It is.
But if I'm the security guard, I'm trying to think of what I would do in that spot.
Depends if you're married.
Does it?
I mean, it's not the meaning what you would do with the quote-unquote fallout or if you try to get the look.
I'm just saying,
Two very different things.
If you pass by, on the city street.
Of course, sure.
All right.
Yeah.
So, somebody of that magnitude that catches your eye to that level, is it just, are we supposed to just keep it moving? Or is it okay to be like, oh, was that, did I just pass that? You know, like pretend you're turning around for something else.
Are you by yourself?
Yeah. Like, let's just say, hypothetically, getting off of the PATH train and walking to Hudson Street, for example.
Yeah.
Let's just say hypothetically.
I don't know. People might recognize you. You got to watch it. They get a picture on the camera on you.
So
be careful here.
That's the good point, BT. Let this be a lesson learning, a learning lesson for everybody else.
Don't look at anybody.
Don't be the security guard. Keep it moving as much as you want to turn around. And then just, go to the IG page. You probably get everything you're going to see there anyway. All right, number two. If you have multiple entries in survivor pools, you have to select... Not that you have to, but what would you do? Select the same team or different teams? Two different entries?
No, I would do two different ones to give myself the increased odds that I get deeper in the season.
But is it increased odds if you're... Now, I'm talking about two different pools, not the same pool.
Two different pools.
If you were in the same pool, it would defeat the purpose to have different same picks, obviously. Yeah.
Is this the Mirage pool, by the way, that we weren't invited to?
I'm in a Mirage pool.
Wait, you jumped in that?
And then I'm in another pool.
You jumped in that?
I did, yeah.
What?
Yeah. I wanted in the knockout pool.
He wanted to jump in.
So why didn't you? He sent us the link.
To what email? I haven't been to my work email in 4 years.
No, I thought he texted us the link.
I get it.
I just signed right in there.
Really?
Right, so
maybe he did.
He did. Let's say you were in two separate knockout pools.
Okay.
Your strategy would be what?
My strategy would be, I probably wouldn't do two, but I'll play along. Because then you're overthinking it.
Segment over, yeah.
No. So if you do two, you're not going to make a pick that you don't believe in.
Right.
So I could also see, even though my initial thought was to pick two different teams to keep it going, maybe you do ride the two same picks if that's what you really believe, and maybe you win two pulls.
Right. I've done both over the years, but at this particular point, I think I'm riding with the same one because think about it. It's hard enough to pick one, and even though you'd think in your own mind, all right, well, I'm in multiple survivor leagues, and I don't want to get eliminated with the same team,
yeah,
you're now hurting your odds by trying to pick two winners.
Hurting your odds in one of them, but at the end of the day, increasing the odds that you live to fight another week in totality. You see what I'm saying?
I guess, but you are hurting yourself because you're, instead of just picking one team to win.
Either way, you're flushing down money in one of them.
You are picking two. No, not necessarily.
Well, maybe. Well, you're going to lose one of them.
I just find that it's easier, while tempting, to do multiple or to do different picks in multiple pools.
Yeah, it's too much at this point.
I think it's easy to just pick one particular team and that's it. I'm not playing scared. I can pick one winner a week and then that's it, even for both pools. And if I lose, I lose. If not, I win.
Okay, so real quick on the Survivor pools here. Yeah. So at the peak of your Falcons fandom.
Yes.
Did you ride them or would you stay away from them in those kind of pools because you didn't want to mix business with pleasure there?
If I felt great about them, I'd bet them.
Yeah, the same way with the Jets or the Giants. Or
yeah, okay, I don't let that get in the way. I would just be blind to it. All right, last one here. And this comes from Hoff, actually, earlier in the week. Yeah. Well, who's a celebrity that you would want at your wake?
At my wake?
Yeah. Hoff had this experience, I guess, recently with somebody in his...
With any diet, he came back?
Well, no, I just found out that my wife's father, who passed away like 20 years ago, unfortunately, Dave DeBuscher was at his wake.
Okay,
they were friends.
Right.
So great. Nick, of course.
Yeah.
DeBuscher pounding the table when they get Patrick Ewing in 85.
Hmm.
Oh, man, I didn't see this one coming. A celebrity that's either with us or no longer with us? It could be either or?
No, I would say like somebody that's alive.
Somebody that's currently with us here.
Like in the hypothetical... Yeah, like for me, like... Well, you have one?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
I Steve Summers.
Okay, well, I was going to say Boomer. So, like, does that count, or is that just more of, like, because we're co-workers with...
Why would you want Boomer? It's an interesting pick.
Well, it's not that I would want him. I'm just saying, like, does he count as a celebrity?
Yeah, he's a celebrity, of course.
Do you think Boomer would show up if either of us died?
Yes, I do. I do. 100%. I mean,
does it depend on if there's a golf tournament going on?
Yeah, I was going to say, what is he
that's
doing?
That's Gio.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure Gio would show up, let alone Boomer.
That's different. I think Boomer would step up. Now, Boomer would be there. Yeah, Gio's got a tee time. He's not. No, he might send the car or something. He ain't coming.
I think Gio would show up for me 100%. I mean, I'd hope.
You lived with the guy.
That's what I'm saying. I would think Gio would show up at my wake.
Yeah,
know
me,
Boomer.
He wouldn't. He would play golf. I think Boomer would show up at both of ours.
I
really do. Boomer's I do.
Is there
twice the captain at the station.
Is there another celebrity that maybe we don't work with that you would want?
Oh, my God.
I mean, does it really matter?
No, it doesn't matter. You're right. It doesn't matter.
Is Boone a celebrity?
I was thinking Bodie for a second here. Yeah, of course he is. What do you mean? Is he a sleazy? Yeah, I'm Yankees manager, of course.
Who would show up and apply that data at your wake?
Oh, stop, man. Who do I really... Do you want an actor? I mean, do you want somebody that's funny lighten the mood? How about you? So you should say Sandler, because you love him, and he'll make everybody feel good about your death.
There you go.
You like that.
Answer. Wait a second. I thought you'd say Terry Collins. Because you love Terry so much.
I do love him.
It would be an honor for you to have Terry there.
No, Terry's going to get in the suit that he lays in the casket with, because that's what he got him.
I want to be buried in the suit TC got me, but I do want Adam to... Good
you
answer.
Like that
yeah,
one.
See, my mind was thinking Halle Berry, Jessica Alba, and then I'm like, well, what could...
Though?
Yeah, exactly.
But they're going to fawn over you while you're dead?
I don't want them there.
No.
The Sandman, that's
you
the
want
right
them, You want them at the pre-party, not at the post-rap.
The Sandman, good one.
I'd want to see Redman at your wake, to be honest with you, Sal. Because
Redman?
Because I'd like to see him give you a new yell at you about your Knicks takes. Was it Knicks or Giants?
Giants. I think he was mad at the Giants. Wonder what Reggie Noble thinks of Jackson Dart. By the way, we got to get into Jackson
Kevin
Dart.
Kevin James could show up. He could berate you in the casket as well. You have a long list of people that'll be out at you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You didn't have one until I gave you one.
I know. I'm trying to think of one for you.
God.
Dave Letterman.
No, I'm not a Letterman fan.
Yeah. Paul O'Neill.
I mean, I love O'Neal, but I don't think he would show up after I said he can't come on the show. Maybe I'll have Michael Kay show up. He can introduce it in a very stately Yankee manner.
Right,
and I know he would show up.
Well, if you have Kay, I'm going to have Francesa.
Not good. Is he going to show up?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I don't know.
I'd like to, you know what? I'd actually like Spike to come to mind for some reason.
Spike.
Eskin or Lee?
Eskin, no, Lee's fine. He
but these are not like I love Spike. He's not a celebrity. Like these are coworkers.
Kind of a celebrity.
Gaten Matarazzo. There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
We have a relationship with his dad, so there you go. They'll show up.
Connor,
bring the bakery gifts.
Ariana from Adriana from Vanderpump Rules.
100%. Maybe Margot Robbie. I don't know. It's pretty cool. She's there at my funeral. That'd be nice. You know.
That is a good point.
Margot Robbie's. That's a good call.
You know what I'm saying? And then people be like, "Damn."
Yeah,
I didn't know we had that.
He had this hookup.
Yeah.
Then they would wonder, like, "Hey, maybe,
dude,
he had more game than we thought."
I got a great idea.
If they start showing up,
rent the celebrity. Can we do that?
Rent the celebrity?
Start a new business?
Yeah. To show up at your wake?
Make yourself feel important?
Just show up. Just somebody shows up, like, have a speech already written out for you.
They got Cameo.
Let's
so just
go.
Rent the body.
Dude.
Instead of rent the video.
I think trademark this segment is jump the shark. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll reset down with the king topic of the day when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.